Imagine what God could do if you were honest and courageous about your family. What could God do in your marriage? What could God do with your parents? What could happen in your kids' lives or in your siblings' lives if you decided, hey, I'm going to be honest and I'm going to be courageous about the family that God has put me in? Now, you may be sitting here, maybe you're watching online, you're thinking, well, I'm single, I don't have a family, and how does this apply to me? Maybe you're a teenager, and you're like, I don't have any power, I don't have any control over my family, I'm just a teenager. Maybe you're retired, or you're empty nesters, and you're thinking, I'm too old, I can't have any impact on my family, no one will listen to me. But this is what I know is true about all of us. We all have family. Whether you like it or not, you can't erase the family you've come from. And the truth is, families are difficult. Some of you, I know, are very close with your family. You do everything together. I mean, we just had Thanksgiving, and you're just like, this is just even so much. This is great. I love Thanksgiving. And then some of you are like, I couldn't wait to get out. And we all go through, or maybe even some of us, we're currently going through some type of dysfunction in our family. And my prayer for you this morning is that you would allow God to do some work in your family. Because God can use you. You can be the catalyst for change that your family needs. And if you and I are going to have breakthrough in our family, it's going to take being honest and courageous. David was the most influential king in the history of Israel. And this morning, I want to do a flyover and unpack some powerful truths in the life of David. And I want to do this not to help you become the perfect family, because that doesn't exist, but to help you become a healthy family. I did this series with my church. It was a 7-week series. We walked through all of 2 Samuel. This morning, you're going to get like 7 weeks into one hopefully short time. When you study the life of David, you see that God walked with him throughout his entire life. God blessed him. God blessed him tremendously. And God granted him unusual favor. But when you start reading between the lines and seeing like what's happening, the family dynamics of what's happening in David's life, from the outside, it looks like, man, David has it all together. God's blessed him. God's given him everything, so many things. But there is a lot of dysfunction going on in his family. And David, like our family, is not perfect. The reality was that his family life was unhealthy. And the number one breakdown of David's family life was pretense. You see, David was really good at pretending like he had family life all together. But let's just say it like it is. There's an elephant in the room, and it's become the family pet. When we allow pretense into our family, when we start pretending like, hey, everything's just fine, we don't have any problems, there's an elephant in the room. And it's easy for everyone to see, but what happens in our families is often we pretend like, I don't see it, you see it, I don't see it. We don't want to talk about it. And the problems should be ignored, just like an elephant in the room. There's an elephant in the room when you make those belittling comments at your spouse. There's an elephant in the room when you come home after a day of work and your negative attitude affects the whole family dinner. There's an elephant in the room when you give your spouse the silent treatment, and it's not just for an hour, it may be days. There's an elephant in the room when your outbursts are just a normal part of life, your family life. There's an elephant in the room when your conversations are just superficial and shallow. And the truth is, you know when there's an elephant in the room. You know what the elephant is in your family. What is the elephant in your room for your family? What are the elephants that you pretend, hey, we're just going to ignore that. We're fine. I don't know what elephant you're talking about. You know those stickers on the back of cars? You know, you have those stick figure dad and stick figure mom, and then what will happen is they'll put like as many kids as they have, right? And then what do they do? What do they do? They put the family pet up there too, right? But just because, hey, we're fine. We don't have any elephants. All of a sudden you have put the elephant as your family pet. Because for you and your family, you become so good at pretending. You've been so good at making it look like, hey, we're fine. We have it all together. And the elephant has become the family pet. The elephant has become one of you. And maybe your family is like mine, where everyone's trying to get out of the house. We're trying to get here to church on time, you know, like we can't be late, you know, and there's chaos, there's frustration. Somebody's not ready. Somebody can't find a shoe. And, you know, like someone's hungry. Another person's grumpy because they stayed up all night playing video games, right? And everyone's so angry. And there's this explosion right before you get out of the house, right? And there's yelling. And then you get in the car, right? Right? And you're just pray to God, I hope I don't make eye contact with someone. You're looking at, staring out the window. You're just praying that you don't make eye contact with someone. Or maybe it's the opposite. You're in the car. Everyone's yelling. They're blaming. They're pointing. Bombs are being dropped. Blame is going around all the way. And then you pull into the parking lot and one of the parents, all right, we're at church. Everybody behave. We're fine. Everybody smile. We're fine. And you get out of the car. Hey, how's it going? Oh, you look good today. Oh, we're fine. Oh, the parking attendant greets you. Oh, how you doing? Oh, we're fine. But the reality is that your fine family is not so fine. And pretty soon you start to look good on the outside, but inside the walls are crumbling down in your family. There's dysfunction, and there's hurt. There's pain. Why? Because you've allowed pretense. You've allowed the elephant to come into your family and become the family pet. And the truth is, when there's elephants in the room, they don't make good pets. I've never seen anyone with a family pet of an elephant. What do elephants do? They stampede. They stink. I mean, they make messes all over the place, right? Elephants, they undermine. Ultimately, they destroy what God intends for our families. But many of our families, what do? We choose to ignore the elephant. And this is exactly what happened with David. Perhaps very, very few men have experienced God's presence and favor like David. And as we this morning quickly explore the life of David and his family, We're gonna see the good, we're gonna see the bad and the ugly, and I believe that we will see that David's family is not much different than ours. David struggled with pretense. David pretended with his family. David pretended with his kingdom, with the nation of Israel, and it cost him dearly. And yet, I don't understand this. Yet scripture says this was a man after God's own heart. And so what I want to do is fly over David's life. David is in his teen years, and he grows up. He's the youngest in his family. He's a shepherd. And the nation of Israel is the high priest Samuel. And Samuel goes to David's family, the family of Jesse. And he says, God tells him, the next king of Israel is in that family. And this is a significant moment for the nation of Israel. And David, the youngest of the seven boys, and then there's Eliab, the oldest brother. And in the family of Jesse, there's this tension going on amongst the brothers, especially between David and Eliab. There's an elephant in the room. 1 Samuel 16, it says, when they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, oh man, surely this is God's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance. Don't judge by his height. For I've rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We get so caught up in making sure we look good. We make sure that we look good so that our families look good. And as a result, what happens is we begin to think, well, if I look good and my family looks good, well, then we're fine. We look good. We are good. But you and I both know the truth that health starts in the heart. Just because of what you look on the outside does not a good indicator of who you are. And as I read this passage, I begin to wonder, what did God see in Eliab's heart that he didn't see in David's heart? Like God, he must have looked at Eliab and he said, nope, this man right here does not take me on the plan that I want to take the nation of Israel. God looked at Eliab's heart and what did he see and what didn't he see? These are the questions that I wonder. And while the story goes on, all seven brothers step up before Samuel and God rejects each of them as the next king of Israel. And so Samuel says, hey, Jesse, is this all of your kids? And he goes, well, there's David, the youngest, but he's out in the fields and watching the sheep. And so they say, well, call him up, man. Like we got to get down to this. What's going on? And so David comes before Samuel and God says, this is the one. Anoint him. And this is this monumental moment for David, for David's father, for the whole family. But there's tension going on here. There's an elephant in the room. David turns 18 and he enters into a new season of his life. David is in between families. You scroll or you flip the page to the next chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 17, and David's life is in transition. He goes from being this simple shepherd boy to becoming a warrior. Eliab and his brothers are standing on with Israel's army before the Philistine army. You know this story. David shows up. He's not part of the army. He's just sent there by his dad to bring, you know, some snacks for war. And what does David do? He makes his way up to the front lines and he hears Goliath taunting the Israelites. And David is appalled. He's appalled. He says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, who is this pagan Philistine anyway, that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? And when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. He was ticked off. What are you doing here anyway? What about those few sheep that you're supposed to be taking care of? This is belittling David. I know your pride. I know your deceit. Thinking he's the one that searches the hearts. Thinking he's God. You just want to see the battle. I mean, like, what's happening there? This belittling, he's totally, this pretense is going on. Why does Eliab have this attitude? I wonder, like, what, I mean, is he jealous? Is he bitter that David got picked and he didn't? There's an elephant in the room. Well, the story goes on, and David, you know the story. David defeats the Philistine giant Goliath, and then we kind of enter into the next season of David's life. David becomes the king of Judah, and during this season, his popularity is growing, and it grows so much that women are writing songs about David. This is like the opposite effect of Taylor Swift. You know, like if people are singing it, women are creating songs about David. And there's a major elephant in the room between him and Saul. He's constantly on the run. And then you get to the end of 1 Samuel, and Saul dies, and then David goes into another season of his life, 2 Samuel. David becomes the king of Israel. He moves into Jerusalem. He captures the city. And scripture says that when he moved into Jerusalem, this is when all the other surrounding nations took notice. Because they realized that David was strong enough to defeat them all. You read all the things in chapter 7 and chapter 8. David defeated and subdued the Philistines, and then he conquers land after land, Moab, and there's king after king, army after army, you know, and people are not just they're paying him money. David is successful. It says he was so successful that the Lord made David victorious wherever he went. And so God is blessing David tremendously. I mean, there's unusual favor in David's life. David is not just king, but he's defeating nation after nation. And with victory after victory, he becomes more wealthy. He becomes stronger of a king and more influential and prosperous. To the fact that later in chapter 8, again, it says that, in fact, the Lord made David victorious wherever he went. I mean, it repeats this like in chapter 8, and you see what's happening in David's life. You see what's happening. David is successful. God is blessing him. David has it all. It's great. But then there is this moment. There's this moment where he decides, you know what? I'm unsatisfied, and I'm just going to pretend with God. Chapter 11, David commits adultery with Bathsheba. And there is a huge elephant in the room, in the kingdom, in his life, in his family's life. I mean, everybody knows. And he tries to ignore it. He tries to act like it didn't really matter. Sweep it under the rug. He tries to pretend like, I'm fine. I'm good. Have you ever done that? Have you ever tried to pretend with God? You pretended like God wouldn't recognize your sin. God wouldn't recognize the dysfunction. Like God wouldn't recognize the elephant in your life. Have you ever done that? And we assume that, well, if I ignore the problem, it will just go away. If I bury it, it will go away. If I ignore it, well, God will ignore it. It doesn't really exist if I ignore it. And this is where ignoring elephant after elephant led to David's fall. His family collapsed, his kingdom and influence began to decrease. It's David's on this rise. He's on this rise. And after this Bathsheba moment, it's like, it's just this rocky road time after time. And it's like he can't get his feet under him. Chapter 13, David's son Amon rapes his sister Tamar. And David, what does David do? Nothing. He ignores it. And because David's sons have seen their father ignore it, what does Absalom do? Oh, Tamar, don't worry about it. Keep quiet about it. He tells her to keep quiet. Elephant after elephant in the family, and it all of a sudden begins to crumble and fall apart. And David, he's so powerful, so influential, so prosperous. He had so much blessing and favor in his life from God, but he did not remove the elephant in his life. Instead, he pretended like it didn't exist. And you and I both know that you cannot hide sin from God. Look at what God says David in chapter 12, verse 9. He says, why did you despise the word of the Lord? By doing what is evil in his eyes. God says to David, hey, David, there's an elephant in your room. What are you going to do about it? This elephant is in your life. You've put a leash around it, a collar, and you're taking it on walks. It's your family pet. Why did you think that you could pretend with me? You see, when you and I pretend with God, when you and I pretend in our marriages or in our families, and that the dysfunction is not real, that the problems are not real problems, that issues, well, they're just minor issues. When we try to move on and ignore them, bury them and forget them, what happens is destruction happens in our lives, in our family's life. Destruction is inevitable. Because pretense kills the family life. You know, I grew up as a missionary kid. My parents were missionaries in Ecuador for 25 years. And I had high school friends that whose parents were divorced. And I remember thinking, wow, man, like divorce life as a teenager, my parents are divorced. I mean, that's hard. You got to pick which family you're going to go with for the holidays. And, you know, it's like all this stuff. And I mean, good thing my parents are missionaries. Good thing my parents go to church. Good thing my parents, we pray at every meal. Like, good thing about that. You know, my family was successful there. Ministry, 25 years, they were consulted, they were sought out. I mean, my parents, they had a reputation. Ministry grew, it was effective. And then in a matter of days, it all collapsed. It was all gone. Because my parents chose to ignore the elephants in the room. My family was severed. On the mission field, my parents got a divorce. There was deep pain, incredible hurt. Me and my brother felt abandoned. Later, stories of abuse came out. I mean, it was a shock to everyone. It was life-changing. But you know, if you talk to my dad then, in the midst of successful ministry, you talk to my dad as a young father, he would tell you, that won't happen to us. That's not possible. Things are too good. So just ignore that elephant. Just forget about it. If you were to ask my mom, she served in the church. She worked at my Christian school that I went to. She would tell you, we're fine. We're fine. Smile big, kids. Ignore the elephant. We're fine. And we could have actually sat in church just like we are today, and the guy up front would have said something. Hey, pretense kills the family. Don't ignore the elephants in your family. Don't ignore the families. And the response could have been just the same, like, we don't have any elephants. That doesn't apply to us. We're fine. And we just pretended like there was no messes, there was no problems. And we became so good at pretending that we looked good. But like I said earlier, God doesn't look at the outside appearance. God looks at our hearts. And the truth was, there was enormous elephants in our life that we were ignoring. And still today, 20 years later, there's elephants that are chosen to be ignored. And it's like these issues come up, we have these problems, and it's like, okay, we're just taking the elephant for a walk again. If you would have told David, I think if we would have told David in the midst of his early stages of being king and being a father, that time when he's receiving this great blessing and favor from God, if you would have told David, hey, there's going to come a day when people are going to say, you are going to be labeled as a man after God's own heart. And you're going to choose to ignore the elephants. You're going to choose to ignore the problems in your family. And there's going to be this attitude of ignoring the elephants and choosing to pretend and pretense. And this attitude is going to carry down into your kids. This attitude is going to carry down into your daughter. And she's going to wish that she died, because no one is sticking up for her. No one is choosing to see the elephant. It's going to carry down into your sons. And it's going to, your son is going to struggle with this so much that he's going to kill your other son. If you would have told him that David, there's going to come a point in your life when you're going to be so broken. You're going to be so in weeping so hard that you're going to tell God, I wish I was dead. If you would have told David all of this in his early stages of his life, he would have said, that won't happen to me. I'm too successful right now. There's no elephants. Ignore it. It's impossible. But the truth is, it did happen. And so what I want to do today is just leave you with two truths to walk away with. Two truths about family life. And the first truth is this, that pretense kills the family. Pretending kills our families. We cannot ignore the elephants in our room. I learned by watching my parents that ignoring elephants destroys our families. Being in youth ministry for 10 years, I've seen student after student come from broken home, and it's because parents and families decide to ignore the elephant. And I wouldn't just say that it kills our families, but it kills us as individuals, a single person. If you ignore the elephant in your life, it affects your character. It affects your reputation. It affects your performance. And if you do not deal with the elephants in your life, all you do is carry them into your marriage. And then you got two elephants. And those elephants become destructive and unhealthy. And so that's the first truth. Pretense kills the family. The second truth is this. It doesn't have to be that way. See, my immediate family was ripped apart. But my extended family invited me into their family. And as I lived life with their family, I saw that you don't have to ignore the elephants. And when you choose to address the elephants in the room, incredible things happen. Family life doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to live with elements, because there's this amazing thing that God has given us, and it's called grace. The creator of everything in the world, everything. He deeply cares about you. He deeply cares about your family. And so if you and I, we can get honest and we can get courageous about the elephants in our family, grace has the power to heal and restore what is broken. I mean, we need to understand the power of grace. God's grace has the power to heal and restore your marriage. God's grace has the power and can restore that broken relationship that you have with your brother or your sister, your mom or your dad. That grace has the power to change people's lives that are dark and cold. And the grace of God has the power to turn what is broken and make a beautiful story out of it. And only grace can do that. Grace is so powerful, but it takes us practicing grace. When we allow grace into our life and into our family life, if we can get honest and courageous with our families, it's not going to make us the perfect family, but you're on your way to becoming a healthy family. You can have a healthy, fit, functional family, a family that honors God when grace is at the center. Now, you need to know that I am no better than my parents. I still mess up. I'm just as wrong. I make mistakes. I'm far from perfect. You can ask my wife afterwards. But the thing is that I learned that in our family, we made a commitment that we're not going to pretend. We're not going to ignore the elephants. Because pretense kills our family. And so this is my challenge for you this morning, for you as we leave here this morning. The challenge is have an elephant-free family. An elephant-free family is not a problem-free family. Problem-free families do not exist. There's families that are dysfunctional and unhealthy, and those are the families that deny that there's problems. Families that are healthy and fit and functional, they have similar problems. But the difference is they acknowledge the problems and they deal with the elephants. They deal with them instead of lying, instead of pretending, instead of sweeping them under the rug. And it takes huge amount of courage. It takes huge amount of honesty to say, we are going to talk about this. We're going to deal with this. We may not come to an answer right now, but we are going to pursue being an elephant-free family. So the challenge is to pursue an elephant-free family. It doesn't matter if you're single, if you're divorced. It doesn't matter if you're an empty nester. Become an elephant-free family. Now, I know that's easy to say. How do you do that? The application is to confess your own elephants. David had to be honest with himself. He chose to stop pretending. And what finally shook him to this reality is God says this prophet named Nathan. And Nathan comes before David, and he tells this beautiful story about this sheep. And he says, and David gets all angry. He says, What should we do? And he said, that man should be put to death. And David says, this man is you. What does David do next? 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, it says, then David confessed, I have sinned against the Lord. Notice David confessed his elephants. He said, I have sinned. Now, you and I both know it's a lot easier to point out everyone else's elephants. I mean, some of you, you're like, this is my greatest talent. I love to do this. Some of us think we are so holy. We think we are the prophet Nathan, and we're supposed to like go and be pointing out people's elephants in the room. But the truth is, I mean, you have so many elephants in your life and in your family. I mean, you might as well be a zookeeper. All right, we got to go back to the words of Jesus. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7? He says, why worry about the elephant in your friend's life when you have an elephant in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, hey, let me help you get rid of that elephant when you can't see past the elephant in your own life? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the elephant in your life, and then you'll be able to see well enough to deal with the elephant in your friend's life. I know, and some of us are thinking right now, we're like, oh man, I sure hope my wife is listening to this. Oh man, I wish my husband was here today. I wish my dad would listen to this. I'm gonna send him the link later. Let me tell you, this is the mentality that got you where you are right now. That's why I didn't say the application is confess other people's elephants. It's not about confessing your sibling's elephant. It's not about confessing your parents' elephant. It's not about confessing your sister. Health begins with you. A fit, functional family begins with you. You confess, you deal with it, you stop pretending, and you become honest, you become courageous, and confess your own elephant. The other day I came home and I was frustrated about some things that were not happening in ministry that I was like, I know they should be happening. God, why aren't you allowing this to happen? You know, and so I was angry, and the temperature and the tension in our home, as soon as I came in the door, I mean, it was hot. I kicked the dog. I yelled at my daughter, and you know, it's like, and I'm short with my wife, and you know, like I she's going to bed, and I had to stop, and I looked at Jendi in the eye, I said, you know, I'm sorry. I brought tension, I brought my frustration into the home. Can we have a do-over? So I walked out and walked back in, and we started over. And that's grace. That's the beauty of families. And that's the beauty of grace. But we have to, it begins with us confessing our own elephants. Imagine if as a family you had this attitude. And you began to be honest and courageous. When you confess your elephants, elephants have to leave. Vulnerability breeds vulnerability. It may not happen right away, but over time, vulnerability comes. So the challenge is to become an elephant-free family, and you do that by confessing your own elephants. Because how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You can't microwave help in our families. There's no instant fix. It takes being honest and courageous day after day. Perfect families do not exist, but healthy ones do. David crashed and burned. But there's this beauty in David's story because he's still labeled as a man after God's own heart. You see, David recognized something. I messed up. And when Solomon's born, Solomon goes, and God gives Solomon this amazing wisdom. And you read through Proverbs, and Proverbs 4. And Solomon talks about wisdom that he learned from his father. The truth is, many of us, we've had those crash and burn moments, or maybe we're in those crash and burn moments right now. Maybe you look like you have it all together. But the truth is, man, walls are crumbling. You're toast. And God wants to bring you back to quality family, fit, functional, healthy family. And that's what God wants for us. That's what God wants for our families. And so my prayer for you is that you would be honest and courageous in your families. Would you pray with me?